Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Last week, we started looking at holiness. We saw that if we want to go to heaven, we cannot go to heaven unless we learn how to live a holy life. We looked at when we want to understand holiness, we can't look at each other to see what holiness is. We must look to God because God is holy. We looked at some different things of holiness. We looked at abomination, those things that go against God's holiness. And after the sermon last week, somebody said, But Bruce, you didn't give me the list of things to do. What do we have to do if we want to be holy? Well, this week is the list of things that we have to do. Holiness, sometimes we think, is back in the Old Testament. It starts back in the Old Testament, but it's throughout the Bible because we serve a holy God. When we get to the New Testament, if you want to know what holiness is, one of the best things to read is the Sermon on the Mount. That is holiness. That is God manifested through us to others, his holy nature. Romans chapter 12 that Ryan just read a few verses from. Read that chapter and we can know how to live a holy life. It's not like some people think you put on a robe and you do certain things and you don't do certain things. Holiness is living the godly life. Holiness is living the Christian life. When we look at this chapter, and again, we see that it all goes back to God. It's not about us, it's about God. But look at how many times in Leviticus chapter 19 that it is said, I am the Lord your God, over and over and over. This is our reason to be holy. This is our reason to do what God tells us to do. So in chapter 19 and verse 1, Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speaking to all the congregation of Israel, we see some characteristics of a holy life. We see some duties, some features of a holy man. We see that we are to observe, they were to observe the Sabbath, that they were to honor the parents and the Sabbath. And holiness, when you think about honoring our father and mother, holiness begins at home. And it shouldn't just stay there, but that's where we should learn holiness, is in the home. And we should grow up with that understanding, and that holiness should be throughout our whole life. Now, when he says to honor our parents and the Sabbath, speak to the congregation, the children, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, am your holy. Revere your mother and father. Keep my Sabbaths. He's not just limiting holiness to keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath represents all the law. They were to keep all the law. Holiness, in verse 4, do not turn to idols, nor make for yourselves molded gods, for I, the Lord, am your God. What is an idol? Well, again, we think back in the Old Testament, it was something that they carved some image and they bowed down and worshiped. That was an idol, but for us and for them too, an idol is anything that we worship other than God. That becomes our idol. Maybe our job, our house, our recreation, whatever endeavor we want to get in, that becomes an idol. And the holy man has nothing to do with idols. Nothing is allowed to take the place of God. God must come first. We have this relationship with God. We have this exclusive relationship with God. When we have an exclusive relationship with God, that excludes all others. You think back to like the Egyptians. So many cultures had numerous gods. They had a god for everything. I am the Lord your God. This is an exclusive relationship. And when we understand that we have this exclusive relationship and that we are to seek the kingdom first so that we can be in his kingdom, that is where we find real peace and joy in the presence of God, not in the things of the world. So holiness is going to be for our benefit. It's going to be, again, necessary to go to heaven, but we must have nothing to do with idols. And we've got to get in our heads that we don't have idols today. We are surrounded by idols. Leviticus verse 5, if you offer a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord, you shall offer it of your own free will. So we see that with holiness, we offer our sacrifices willingly. You think about Christ. How did he offer himself? He offered himself willingly. Christ delighted to do the will of God at any cost. And if we want to be pleasing to God, we must delight in doing his will. What would you rather do? Would you rather be here on Sunday morning or somewhere else? Would you rather talk to someone about the gospel or would you rather go to a ball game? Would you rather do this in relation to God or do this with something in the world? We should delight in doing God's will. What is there that is greater than doing the work of our Creator? And this is something, again, so many of these lessons, we've got to get across to children. We've got to get across to grandchildren, to any and everybody that we can. But if we get more excited about going on vacation than we do about the Lord's work, what kind of influence are we going to have on somebody in the world? So the person that is holy is going to offer sacrifices willingly. In verse 9, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So why were they not to reap everything? They were to remember the poor. They were to leave something for the poor. He follows the example of his master, and he preaches the gospel to the poor. Do we sometimes only want to go and talk to people that are the same social status as us, or maybe higher? Do we remember the poor and help them? Or do we think of the poor and try to avoid them? You see, with this holiness, again, there are different religious duties. There's duties to our neighbor. There's miscellaneous duties. All of this is holiness in our everyday life. Well, we need to deal honestly with our fellow man. In verse 11, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Here he lists three categories of cheating someone: stealing, dealing falsely, and lying. And that covers about everything that you see in so many business transactions today. It's like people, they have a contract to do something and they have no regard for that, or they think nothing of lying to somebody. But the holy person is not going to steal, is not going to deal falsely, nor lie to one another. One of the places you see this manifested in is in the workplace, with your job, with your employer. Even if the person's business does not succeed and he suffers, he is not going to steal or deal falsely, lie or defraud someone else. You think about a balance, a weight. This holy person, us, we are going to carry a holy balance in our conscience. When we are weighing the things in the world, is this right or wrong? What do we use to determine that? God, God's holiness. When you think about dealing falsely, and over in the Old Testament, it would talk about false measures and false weights, and you would think that that wouldn't be a problem among God's people, but it seems like it was a problem since the beginning of time. And with God's people, with anybody. And do we have that problem in society today? We have it everywhere. And you go and you get gas today, and you check on that pump, and there's going to be a little sticker that it was checked by somebody from the county to make sure it was an accurate measurement, accurate and just balance. The holy person is going to deal honestly with the fellow man. When you're buying or selling something, you aren't going to take advantage of somebody. You want to get a good deal, but more importantly, you should want to get a fair deal. It's fair to me, it's fair to the other person. We deal honestly with people. With different things, with our dealing with our neighbor. In verse 12, you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord. We don't want to dishonor the name of God. God is a jealous God, and we need to revere his name. God is our Lord. He is our master. In verse 13, you shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. These are so many interesting little tidbits of duties that the Israelites had. You don't cheat your neighbor. You don't rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. What's he saying there? Pay somebody promptly. You owe somebody something, you pay it. You don't make them chase you down half a dozen times trying to get what you owe somebody else. This is what holiness is about. It's living a godly life, doing what is right, looking out for our neighbor, honoring God, and all the little things that we come across every day. He considers his servants. Wages are paid when they're due. And then when you do that, it just makes both parties feel good. You pay someone, you shake their hand, you say thank you. You want to do business with them again. In verse 14, you shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. See, we don't want to exploit our neighbors. We don't want to take advantage of them. This one, it says, you shall not curse the deaf. That's talking about making fun of them. You don't want to use somebody's disability to your advantage. We don't want to take the advantage of a weaker brother. You might see something and you go to buy it, and the person is selling it for a really cheap price, and what's the inclination to do? Oh, I'm going to buy it and not tell them it's worth a whole lot more. Somebody, in if you do that, whatever we do, we got to remember God's law of sowing and reaping. What goes around comes around. And we might buy something and think, wow, I got a steal on that. They don't know how much that was really worth. And we think we get away with it. And then what happens? We turn around and sell something and it's underpriced and somebody doesn't tell us what it's worth. You see, there's this leveling balance in our life. And we want to do what is right, what is holy, what is just. We don't want to take advantage of someone that is weaker. We don't want to take advantage of someone where there's some oversight that may have happened. In verse 15, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. No injustice in judgment. Again, we talk about justice being blindfolded. It cannot discriminate. Something is right or wrong. We don't show partiality to a person one way or the other. We show justice. And that doesn't mean that we roll over and let somebody take advantage of us. We used to have some rental properties, and we got rid of all of those properties. And when we had those properties, we had to evict some people sometimes. And when I went to an attorney one time and told him what I needed to do, he said, "Do you want to know what that process is like?" And I said, "Sure." And he said, "Well, you go to the court in Vandalia on like the last Tuesday of the month, and that's when they hold eviction court. And just go and see how that process works." I said, "Okay, thank you." And I went and did that. The room was full of people, and you wouldn't believe, they would call a case and the person would get up and they would give this 5-minute dissertation of what went wrong. "I lost my job, I got sick, my mother died, my spouse ran away, this happened, that happened," one after the other, after the other, after the other. It was like, I don't listen to soap operas, but I would say it was like listening to some soap opera. And every time, after they would finish speaking, the judge would rule in favor of the owner of the property because they had broken the contract. They had broken the contract. Doesn't matter what the circumstances were, you broke the contract. You have no legal standing to stay in this place. You must leave. That's impartial justice. We want God to be impartial with us when we want Him to be, and then we want Him to be partial. But when we made a contract with God and say, "Yes, Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my King, you're my everything. I confess you before men. I want to be a member of your church. I want to do this, I want to do that." And then what do? We come up with 101 excuses. "Well, I can't do that. Well, I'm busy. I'm going here, I'm going there." Friends, you shall not do injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor. Again, what we expect of others, God is going to expect of us, because God is a holy God. God is a holy God. Holiness is impartial in manner. And our interest should be in all. Our interest should be in the Lord's poor. Our interest should not be in making a name for ourselves in this world. We see the impartial love of God, that he loved all man. As Paul would say, he loved the chiefest of sinners, me. Yet, we must obey God's law. We can't come up with an excuse, because on the day of judgment, God may listen to all of our excuses, but being a holy God, God's going to say, you broke the contract. You have no right to this mansion that was prepared for you. Depart from me, you that practice lawlessness. We do not exploit our neighbor. Verse 16, do not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. We don't want to harm our neighbor. And you see some people just the opposite. They want to take advantage. And with, he mentions talebearing, gossip. People gossip about others. Being a faithful spirit, he conceals the matter. Proverbs 11:13. You find out something about the neighbor on this side, what do you do? Do you just not tell anybody, or do you start telling everybody up and down the street? This is holiness. This is what holiness is about. In verse 17, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. So we are to not hate our brother. There should not be hate in our heart. There should be no place in a Christian's heart for hate, period. If someone is in sin, we should speak to them. We should hate the sin, but not the sinner. In verse 18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. We love people. We don't hold a grudge. We don't recompense evil. We wait on the Lord. God will take vengeance, and God wants us to love one another and to be holy because he is holy. In verse 19, you shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your livestock breed with one another. You shall not sow your field with mixed seed, nor shall a garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you. So this is something that happens sometimes when I do my slides on my computer at home, and I come here and for some reason, it's probably operator error. I got to catch up with my slides here. Okay, no mixed breeding from verse 19. Not let your livestock breed with another kind. Not sow your field with mixed seed, nor garment of mixed linen and wool come upon you. Why is there this law? God wants us to distinguish between things that differ. We looked at that in the first lesson of holiness. And what was holy? Whatever God said was holy. What was clean? Whatever God said was clean. What was unclean? Whatever he said was unclean was unclean. God does not want us to mix things that differ. We say, well, what difference does it make with breeding animals or garments? We need to learn the lesson. If we don't learn the lesson, then what difference does it make mixing God and mammon? We would say, well, you can't mix God and mammon. You can't do that. And that's true. We can't mix darkness and light. We can't do that. But that's why God wanted his people to learn with these other laws that he gave them of what to do and not to do. He mentions no pagan practices in verse 26. You shall not eat anything with blood, neither shall you use enhancements. You shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall you mar the corners of your beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am Jehovah. These were what the pagans did. The rounding the corners of the head. Some of these pagans, their statues had a type of a haircut of their gods. And people would want to do this to be like the pagans. Part of these verses refer to tattooing also. That was a device of paganism. Certain gods had their logo inscribed on their followers. One of those, the mark of the pagan god Dionysius, was that of an ivy leaf, and it was burned into the flesh with a branding iron. God is wanting his people not to become involved in pagan practices. He goes on in verse 29, profane not thy daughter to make her a harlot, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am Jehovah. Well, why would a father want to make his daughter a prostitute? Why would he want to do that? It was for money. It was for money. You think of all the temples of the gods, these huge temples, ornate. Where do you think they got the money from? It wasn't from the pagans coming and giving free will offerings to whatever gods. It was from the harlots, the prostitutes, that served sacred religion in the temple. And for a poor person, that might be a temptation. Well, we're going to starve, or I can have my daughter go and work in the temple. That, again, God wanted his people not to have anything to do with pagan practices. We see that as physical adultery, and we know that's wrong. Physical fornication, and then we think, well, we can get away with spiritual fornication. We can serve God and the devil. We can't do that. We can't be holy. In verse 31, give no heed to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. People were going about trying to contact the dead, trying to reach those that had gone on. Even a king of Israel, Saul, consulted with the witch of Endor. God wants his people to stay away from that. In verse 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, honor the face of the old man. Thou shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. If we want to be holy, we need to honor the aged. Again, you see, when a society stops honoring the aged, the society starts to crumble. We're to love the stranger in verse 33. And if a stranger sojourns with thee in your land, you shall do him no wrong. The stranger that sojourns with you shall be unto you as the home born among you. Thou shalt love him as thyself. For you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord. We're to show love to the strangers. The Israelites were to show love because they were strangers themselves when they were in the land of Egypt. In verse 35 and 36, they required the use of honest weights and measures. Again, that cheating continues today. In verse 37, Ye shall observe all my statutes and all mine ordinances and do them. I am the Lord. Therefore, ye shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord. Friends, this is holiness. When we think, well, what do I need to do to be holy? It's holy living. Leviticus 19 is an excellent place to learn how to live a holy life. The Sermon on the Mount, Romans 12. But we've seen what holiness is. We have to be holy to enter the presence of a holy God. We've started off with a list of things to get us started, and I'm planning on doing one more lesson just to look at a couple other things of holiness. But holiness is something we need to make it personal. Again, some religious groups, people, they elevate certain people above others. They wear holy robes. They have holy utensils. They have holy this and holy that. When you read in the Bible, you read that God is holy. Whatever he says is holy. Anything that he doesn't say, he abhors, he hates. It's an abomination unto the Lord. I pray that we all may live a more holy life. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs the prayers of the congregation, if you need to respond to the gospel in some way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.